Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting from my bright red desk with Handsome sitting as my wingman, I guess. He's sitting on my right on the pile of charts. So he and I are hanging out, and everybody's been fed, so we're all happy. And we do every week here on the show is we talk about the energy in the heavens above and how it feels, how you can work with it productively or not productively. Nothing says you have to work with it productively, and how to work with it. And as we are speaking, we are hunkering down here in New York for a big old storm, planning on it coming in. And so somebody wrote and said, why a big old storm? I said, we have a huge, huge grand trine in water, okay? Lots of planets in water and a big grand trine in water with Sun and Saturn in water and Neptune and Chiron in water and Ceres stationing in water, all in a big trine of water flying at each other. So a lot of wind, too. We have Mars opposite Gemini, Jupiter, Mercury, wind, 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 water, water, wander. That sounds like a hurricane to me. Plus, Mercury is at the last degree of Scorpio on the north node of fate, so ruling that Jupiter and Gemini. So we go, you know, Farmer's Almanac initially, way back when, and still today, we're prepared based on the astrology. So this summer we knew we were going to have a dry and hot one because Saturn was in an air sign, and Jupiter was in an air sign, and Venus was in an air sign, lots of dry and hot energy. Next summer, going to be very rainy and very wet for those of you who do beach chairs, like I do on Fire Island. Rainy and wet next summer. This year, right now, today, this lovely grand trine in water going to give us a nice big old storm over the next few days. So New York is officially shut down. They have shut down the subway systems. They have shut down the buses. Everything's gone to bed. So we can, too, I guess, is the moral of the story. And what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about the weekly weather and what else is going to happen this week besides Hurricane Sandy visiting us here. Because she's a big girl. I'm assuming she's a girl. I don't know. I might be being sexist because Sandy can be a boy's name, too. So Sandy of indeterminate sex is causing us a lot of problems. But what we have in the heavens, this grand trine in water, is why everybody's been so emotional. I had one student email me and say, how come so many plots? You know, all these people catching people in these plots. That is the Mars in Sagittarius, the police, opposite Jupiter in Gemini. Not such smart plots because they're getting caught. And that also is the Sun to Saturn, the end of things. We have figured out stuff. We've seen it. We've said, no, you can't go doing that. We need you to do something else. So that Sun Saturn is endings. And I did hear of quite a few endings this week, relationships, people fessing up the true story of what had been going on, people kind of saying, you know, I need you to stop this now, or I'm breaking up with you, or I'm leaving. A lot of endings this week with that Sun Saturn and also with the Jupiter-Mars opposition, which is peaking and perfecting today. Now, next week, all right, we have officially started Saturn in Scorpio, because the Sun, the ego, came this week that we just finished and said to it, okay, this is the new direction. This is where we're going. This is what's up for the ego's development of Saturn's journey through Scorpio. Remember, your chart totally is in support of developing your Sun's purpose on Earth. We're all here to do our Sun's purpose and to become what our Sun says we're here to do. So our job, as we watch this, is to kind of say, okay, what would Saturn in Scorpio want to encourage my natal Saturn to do? Because it's going to encourage your natal Saturn to do something, as well as your Capricorn house and your Aquarius house. And, of course, your natal Saturn is in service of the Sun, the purpose, your ego for being. So we watch these planets to kind of give us guidance. So Saturn in Scorpio, we know we're sitting in the smelly swamp, and we are moving forward. And to whoever sent me the flowers, you didn't sign them. So I don't know who you are, but I do say thank you. They were beautiful. Someone sent me, when you're sitting in the smelly swamp, stop to smell the sweetness. So thank you for the beautiful roses. But it also is a lot of energy around needing to transform, because Scorpio is about transformation and about being in the process. And about agreeing to go deep inside, into the parts that maybe we're a little afraid of, or the parts that maybe we We kind of are a little, they get us a little nervous because they're so intense. Scorpio is the intense part of our charts. Wherever, whatever house we have Scorpio on, that's the area where we really want to be intense, where we really want to have deep and profound transformative experiences. It's where we really want to kind of experience the depths of life, the intensity of life, the provocativeness of life. Handsome, you can't sit there, honey. You're going to turn off my phone. Okay, we lost the chart. Hang on one second. I got a touch-sensitive screen, which is not good for cats. I just want to mention that as a design feature for future computer programmers. It's got to be a way to turn off the touch-sensitive part. Because, man, tails... tails feel like fingers as far as the computer screen is concerned. So what we're doing this week is we're working with that Scorpio energy. Our ego's purpose is trying to help us understand what we're going to do. So last week on Thursday, Friday, there was something that went down. And whatever that was, it was designed to get your attention, to help you understand what you're going to be working on over the next 3 years. And to really help you focus your energy, to focus your light, to focus on to something that is in another way, another call, another direction for you. So as we watch this energy, now this week the sun is going to move, zipping through. The sun's going to move from 5 Scorpio through 11, 12 Scorpio by the 30th. And it is it's all about... You know, the early decant of Scorpio, the Scorpio, the intense part, which, of course, we're in an intense energy right now in the heavens. But also we're going to be in intense energy emotionally. And the sun is going to square the nodes of fate by declination, parallel the nodes of fate by declination, offering us a choice on Halloween. And we also are having a sextile to Pluto and some hard aspects to home and hearth on the towards the end of the week, on November 1st, 2nd. Around the expression of our patterns, around the expression of our understanding of who we are. Remember, wherever we are in, whenever we're in Scorpio, we're being asked to go into a transformative alchemical state. Now, alchemy is, you know, it's the marriage, the union, and then after the union, there's the transformation, and then there's the death, and the decay, and the rebirth. Okay, so it's very I don't know the right word for it. It's very big. I had a person here earlier today who worked on a farm when he was younger, and we were talking about the whole cycle of life and how that works in the chart, how that works in a person's being. Him having worked on the farm as a kid, his grandparents' farm, him seeing life in a whole different perspective. We don't often see death anymore because we're really isolated from it. It used to be people were laid out in your front yard, not your front yard, your front porch, your front, you know, the front parlor. And there was a much more, you died at home, you didn't die in a hospital, far from home, away, alone. And so now we're at this transformation where each of us are going through a death and a rebirth, through a merging, through an alchemical union, where we're going to be transformed on the other side and be resurrected, be reborn. And that's our journey, that's our work of this next 3 years, is to rebirth ourselves, to relearn ourselves, to come up with a new way of seeing our being and understand that rebirth is part and parcel of our process here on Earth, that as the fall comes, all the frost happens, the plants all die, everything becomes the fodder, the food for the winter's quiet, dark germination. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in winter underground. The cold that freezes the seeds that allows them to then be reborn. In the spring, when the light comes back and everything becomes bright and light and sunny again. So as we enter the period of Scorpio, we also are at the Festival of Samhain, or All Saints' Day in the Catholic tradition or the Christian traditions. But basically, the Celtic tradition, this was the beginning of the new year, because it was the end of the growing season. And we started the germination process. We started the beginning of the seeds below the earth. So it is when the veil between the worlds are the thinnest. It's when the souls who died this year cross over and head off to wherever they're going to go. I, when I was younger, I worked and I hung out with Celtic Celtic pagans, I guess they would call themselves. I'm not quite sure what they named themselves. But we would, on Halloween, we would always gather, and we would work with the transition. And I remember the year my grandmother died. It was like 2000 or 99, 98, something like that. And, you know, we went down to the underworld, and there she was. She was traveling over, so she stopped by to say hi. And everybody in the group described her and what she was wearing and who she was, and we all had gone on this meditation individually, so it was kind of profound. But there's this big crossover that happens on the day, on Samhain, the day of the thin veils between worlds. It's also a great time to talk to your dead relatives, to the people who you love that have crossed over, and to connect with them. There's a full moon tomorrow night, Monday night, and we're all going to be locked in our houses, at least all of us on the East Coast, from Virginia North. We're going to be locked in our houses without trains, taxis, or submarines. So it's a great day to connect and commune with your dead relatives and to connect with the departed in your family and to connect with your understanding of endings as we watch Mother Nature bring this huge storm upon us. But it's the thin time. And as we sit and talk and connect, now the tradition of Halloween, of course, is to go out and to wear these costumes to scare off the devil so the devil doesn't come and get you by mistake when everybody else is crossing over. But I think it also is a wonderful day to connect with our elders and our relatives and our ancestors who's gone before us, or even our friends. You know, I had a friend die earlier this year, and I plan on doing a little meditation on Halloween and saying goodbye to her one more time, if I happen to see her go by. But it's kind of an interesting time. So the sun this week is very much about connecting and releasing, okay, because it's in the last degrees of Scorpio. The moon is going to run from Gemini, Cancer, and Leo, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, over the next few days. And that's all about the personal planets. What is your possessions? What are of value to you? How you communicate and how you connect emotionally and deeply, and also Leo, how you create. So we watch that deep and profound connection to the moon, the emotional nature. And the moon has a positive trine to Pluto tomorrow, on the 29th, rather. And it has an opposition to Mars, an argument with Mars, on the 2nd. And then it has a lovely trine to the sun on the 4th. And then the closing aspect for the Leo moon on the 5th is a lovely trine to Mars. So we've got a hard separating aspect for the events that began on October 31st, 1st, and 2nd. And then the other aspects are all very pleasant. Mercury, of course, is in his shadow. He entered Sagittarius. Tonight, the 29th, at 2:18 in the morning. And he is going to be in Sagittarius for a little bit. He goes to Sagittarius until Monday. Tuesday, next week, Election Day, and then he stations and goes backwards, back into Scorpio, all the way back to 18 Scorpio, and then comes forward again through December. So we are officially in Mercury's shadow, and now he enters the sign he hates. He doesn't hate it, but it's like too much information, and Mercury is precise, favors precision, but there's just a lot of stuff going on. So with his entry into Sagittarius on the 29th, he's going to go degrees 1, 2, 3, because he's moving very slow, okay, because he's getting ready to stop at 4 next week when we vote. And he also has hard aspects to Saturn, to Ceres, to Neptune. So Mercury's a lot of confusion, a lot of not talking, not being heard, not being seen, or being seen and misunderstandings and just not being heard well this week. Now, Mercury, of course, rules Jupiter right now, because Jupiter is in the sky in Gemini, and also Vesta, which is the home and hearth. So there can be confusion around the home and hearth. Fortunately, there's no planets in Virgo. So Mercury is just really causing trouble with himself and Jupiter, which is transportation and travel. So we can anticipate that the planes ain't all going to be flying again until November 3rd, because that'll be when people can get home. Venus is busy. Venus is running from 2 Libra. She entered Libra yesterday, And she is, earlier today, rather, she is yesterday from tomorrow's spreadsheet, but the moon today. I'm really a little confused here, and it's not even Mercury in little Sag yet. Venus runs from 2 Libra to 8 Libra and 844. So she's a busy girl this week, too. Now, she likes being in Libra. It's one of her favorite signs. However, she's in the cardinal sign. So what she's going to do is she's going to set off that T-square energy again. So she's going to oppose Uranus on the 1st, and she's going to square Pluto on the 3rd, and she's going to square Ceres on 31st, and she's going to argue with Saturn on the 30th. So the principle, Venus is in a sign she likes, but she's having a bit of a fuss this week. She's a little crabby. And of course, whenever there's one of these big storms, we spend a lot of money. And if we're shutting down the whole city of New York, so 10 million people stay home. Well, it did help the grocery stores and everything because there were huge lines there. But it also kicks up all this tension, anxiety, fear. And so Libra is all about partnering, but right now she's not having easy aspects to anybody. And she's kind of out there, you know, in Libra all by herself, you know, working hard, but she's not... You know, she's the only planet in Libra. She's not happy. So we have to kind of be nice to each other this week because Venus is unhappy. In even though she's in a nice sign, she's just having arguments with everybody. And when she's arguing, it's just not as much fun as when she's laughing and singing. So she's a little argumentative. And especially towards the weekend, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th. But the beginning of the week, she's not much happier either because she's arguing with Ceres and Chiron, and you know, she's just crabby. Mars is actually in a better place. He's in 18 degrees to 20 degrees of Sag. So he has a semi-square to Saturn, which is a little stress about how to get places and how to do things. But then he has positive aspects with Ceres, meaning he's able to create stuff and move forward. Jupiter's not doing much. Uranus is not doing much. Yeah. Ceres is stationing on Halloween at 3 degrees of Cancer. So let's talk about Ceres a little bit. Ceres is Mother Earth. And what we find with Mother Earth energy, especially when it stops, especially in the sign of Cancer, is that it's extra strong. So the principle of connection and relationship and how you nurture yourself, how you nurture others. I did a reading the other day, and this woman said to me, so, like, why am I eating so much? And I said, well, you're emotionally processing. This is big grand trine in water. And the trine to Ceres in the sign of food is also about, like, how can I take care of myself better? But she's in the sign of I want to eat stuff because I'm not feeling so good. So as she stops, we know that the few days on either side of her station, and she actually stations on, where are you, Ceres? On Halloween. We know that the few days on either side of her station are really packed with extra energy. So if we think about it, she's the sign of food. So if you were in the grocery stores today in New York, people were buying the things out, shopping. One client came by earlier today and said, I was in the store having coffee and this guy came in and bought all this food and bought like everything in the cupboard, you know, and brought it home. And I'm like, okay, that's, you know, and I do know whenever we have those big snowstorms, everybody goes and gets milk and bread, you know, and it's like, we're not going to eat for a month. It's like a few days, people, we'll be okay. But Ceres stationing makes us aware of our home and our nest. So with her stopped, we're all going to be home nesting, literally. Quite in the East Coast, literally we're stuck home. But there's a whole energy here around the family, around the nurturing, around how we care for ourselves. And the grand trine in water is all about the flow and the dream of the flow and the dream of what we want to create. So as we're home over these next few days, or as we take this energy of emotion, deep and profound emotion, deep and profound feelings, take some time to sit with it and think about what it is you want to create, what your vision is for yourself, what your direction is for yourself. And I do want to say I have not had any gluten. I have no idea why I'm making so much mucus. It's very good, in fact. Well, I had a bagel the other day, but I've been pretty good otherwise on the bagel, but that's not what's making me cough today. So this Grand Trine in Water is all about that profound, deep connection. And each of us, on some level, are really yearning for a deep, profound connection and a deep, profound intimacy, because Saturn's in the sign of intimacy. And he's trying to Neptune, which says to our soul, well, what is it you deeply yearn for? What is the deep connection you want me to make? And then it trines to Ceres, and it says, and how can that deep connection nurture you? So what you want to do under this lovely week ahead of us, especially this full moon and the next couple of days where we're all going to be waiting for the storm and perhaps living without electricity and perhaps just hanging out with our family, is to sit quietly and to say, hey, if I was to count my blessings, what would I say they were? What are the sweetnesses as I sit in the, by the smelly swamp? What is the vision of where I want to go with all this energy? What's my future about? Because we also have the Saturn and the Sun trining series, which is all about what we want to create. What do we want to nurture? What do we want to grow in our lives? So that's also the other piece. This last bit of the Sun in Libra was a lot about release, let go. Now Saturn's in Scorpio. It's about create. What do you want to create? And people are going, I don't know what I want to create. It's like, no worries. What do you know you want? You know, when I wrote in the column that, you know, you're committing to the next 4 years, next 30 years between now and November 17th, because Saturn doesn't go through 0 to 44, 49. All the planets between 0 and 449 are committing. People really were panicky. And I'm like, this happens every year, people. You know, just a little patch of sky, but there's a patch every year where Saturn goes through and he never goes back over again, and we commit to something then. So, Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel committed to each other. But in some cases, if you know you don't want to be with the thing you're with, or the person you're with, or the situation you're with, or the habit you have, this is a great time to let it go. To say, okay, I'm going to give up cigarettes. I'm going to give up that extra couple glasses of wine at night. Or to commit to healthy things. I want to commit to an exercise program. I want to commit to, organizing my papers. I promised my paper organizer person that I would commit to half an hour a day of doing my paperwork every day and making sure that the mail didn't jump out of wherever it jumps from that makes so many piles in my house. It's a committing to something, committing to a vision, committing to a program, committing to an idea, committing to a person if you know you love them and you want to be with them forever, like Justin and Jessica. Or if it's somebody you don't want to be with, maybe you shouldn't stay. Why are you staying? Why are you staying where you don't want to be? This is all about us making conscious choices. We don't have to do the things that aren't good for us anymore. We're supposed to be getting clear on visually, emotionally, psychically, intellectually, spiritually, what is it we truly want to commit to? Saturn wants us to commit now that he's in Scorpio. Not just partner. Lock and load, commit. This is your mate. This is what you're committing and you're going to do. So think about what you want to commit to over these next few days as we are given a forced moment of silence in our lives as the storm rages up the East Coast, as Sandy, boy or girl, whatever her gender or his gender is, rains, and blows in your neighborhood. We also want to watch the energy of the full moon. Well, the full moon tomorrow is at 6 Taurus. 6:48 Taurus, and it's at 3:49 p.m., what it does is it culminates the story that started in early April of, late April, early May of March of 2011, okay, because that was when the new moon happened in Taurus at a similar degree. So what happens is we start a new moon story, and then 10 months later, when the moon was in Taurus and the sun was in Aquarius last year, Aquarius time frame, February. We had a culmination. We had a test. We had a crisis of opportunity. Now we have the culmination, the ripening, the full moon, the ability to see what we planted in the spring of 2011. And then in 10 months from now, when the moon is in, drawing a blank, we're in Scorpio now, Leo, 10 months from now, next summer, we will reflect back on this time and say, ah, yes, that's what I did. So the idea of this energy is all about giving you a culmination. And Taurus, of course, is one of the bigger moons. We love the full moon in Taurus. We love moons in Taurus in general because moons in Taurus are exalted and full of wonderful and delicious things. So this full moon in Taurus with the sun in Scorpio asks us each to understand how we are deeply, deeply, profoundly connected to one another, sun in Scorpio, and how that deep, profound connection nurtures, feeds, and sustains us, moon in Taurus. So your job, should you decide to accept it, is to recognize that this week we have a lot of very stressful energy with Venus. She's just not going to be a happy girl. We have a lot of culminating energy with the with her energy running, culminating testing, I guess more is a better word, for Venus's stuff. So our love and our partnership relationships are going to be tested. From the sun's point of view, we're going to get clear on something. We're going to be entering the early parts of Scorpio and really being asked to look deeply into our own souls and our own parts. And as Ceres stations, we're really going to be asking the question of what truly nurtures us and how. And now that we know what nurtures us, then how do we get more of that in our lives, more of that in our world? So that's basically the week ahead. I think it'll be interesting. I am definitely looking forward to it. And, of course, Halloween is always one of my favorite holidays here in New York. We have a fabulous parade that I love to go to, and hopefully I get to go to it. And I have theater tickets for Thursday night, so hopefully I get to go to the play. Broadway will be open. And then, of course, next weekend, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I'm doing my weekend on predictive techniques up in Manchester, Vermont, assuming the trains run and we can get there. But it's a great weekend for learning how to do predictive techniques. We're going to cover a number of them, and it's at the beautiful Inn at Willow Pond. So if you're interested in joining, this is shameless self-promotion. There's information on my website about it and in the column about it on Astro Ann. And also make sure to tune in and check out the other radio shows, the Scorpios Talking and the Venus Unplugged that my friend Lorraine Neidhart is doing. I teach a workshop at the Open Center on Tuesday, which we will not be having this week because of the storm, on October 30th. But last week, these two lovely Scorpios came out and said, I love the Scorpio Talking Show. So that's with my friend Michael Kohlberg, who is an excellent therapist. And we were talking about the deep and intense feelings that are running right now, and psychopaths and sociopaths. We have an interesting conversation. And then, of course, there's always the Marianne Show with my friend Mary Fitzpatrick. And then we have the Excess Astrology on Monday nights, which takes questions from listeners. So feel free to tune into any of those shows and check us out. Check me out, check them out, check my co-hosts out. And you're going to be home alone anyway, trapped in your house, so you might as well check them and listen to them. And hopefully join us in Manchester next week. And so this week, I think the theme for the week is going to be silence. You know, Mercury's in Sagittarius, but he's not happy. And he's answering to Jupiter in Gemini. And I think one of the things we don't do a lot is listen. And thinking about listening, thinking about communication and listening and what all goes on with that, and how do we listen to each other? So often we are in continual conversation or continual on mode, right, where there's like all this stimulation, there's music, there's television, there's presidential debates, there's radio, there's Tumblr, there's blogs, we don't listen. We're just stimulated all the time. So this lovely Hurricane Sandy is going to give us an opportunity to be silent and listen. We're going to listen to the rain blow. We're going to listen to the wind howl. We're not going to be able to go out. We're going to be home with our loved ones or our small furry friends, in my case. And my neighbors down the hall, of course. I know we'll have a party because we always have a party when it rains. But so it's all about connection. It's all about listening. It's all about silence. It's all about solitude. So have a great week. Sit silently by the smelly swamp. And thank you, whoever sent me the flowers. I really appreciate them. But I wish I knew who you were so I could say thank you in person. Have a great week. This is Ann Ortley at my bright red desk with Handsome here, purring in front of me. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.